Genesis chapter 37. Sibling rivalry, or was it more than that? Sibling rivalry, or was it more than that? In the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, we have the preservation of the faith line of God's people. We just looked at Esau and the origin of Israel's problem in the last chapter. And now we're going to look at Israel, Jacob. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had pilgrimed, sojourned, in the land of Canaan. Canaan means possession. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when he was 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now here we all have, now Bilhah and Zilpah were Jacob's wives. They were concubines, but they were more than concubines. Their children had inheritance. A concubine's children did not. And he brought back a bad report to his father. He said, something's going on here. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a multicolored coat or tunic. Now, it wasn't because Joseph was the son of his old age. It was because Joseph was the son of the woman that he loved, Rachel. He did not want all these other women. He wanted Rachel. Now, if he'd had Rachel only, he would have only had two children instead of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Israel. And he loved Joseph more than all his sons. And he made him a good luck coat. And this good luck coat would designate him as the heir of the family in all reality. This would indicate that Joseph was going to be the heir. That's his father's son. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, so they hated him. And they could not speak to him on any peaceable or friendly term. They did not want to talk to him. They did not have any saying, hey, Joseph, how are you doing today? It says, hey there, jerk, the favored one, and they would make fun of him. They would make fun of him. Now, I went through a lot of this in my life. My sister, younger than me, was spoiled rotten, and I hardly had any clothes to wear or shoes that were put on my feet. I pretty much had to earn everything that I earned. If I had a pair of shoes, I bought them. I earned them with money of my own. My grandmother felt sorry for me and loved me and took me into her shack, just a little one-room dirt floor shack, and I lived with her. And I learned the love of a mother from her. But she was killed when I was 11 years old. And it went on that way all of my life. And I always tried to please my mother as much as I could and try to protect her as much as I could. But I never had that love from her. I had that love, and the love that I had was from my grandmother. Then Joseph had a hypnotic trance. Hypnos is the word in Greek. Joseph had a hypnotic trance. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Now, God is speaking to this boy. God is speaking to this boy in hypnotic trances, in dream, basically, but it's a hypnotic trance. And he said to them, please listen to this dream which I've had, which I dreamed or was under this hypnotic trance. But behold, we were all out cutting wheat in the field. And we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect, straight up. It didn't lean over, it was erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Now, if you wanted to make these boys even madder, this is what you could have said. And then his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Now, God is speaking to them in the dream. God has picked this boy out for a reason. Are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now, he still had another hypnotic trance, another hypnosis by God, and related this to his brothers and said, lo, I had still another dream. I was in another hypnotic trance, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. The sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And he related this. He told to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him. Now, we have to remember at this period of time, and it should be this way today, actually, that children ought to absolutely respect their mother and fathers. They ought to respect their mother and fathers. They ought to honor them. Now, I know some mother and fathers don't have anything about them to be respected at all. But normally, in a normal family, that the children ought to respect their mothers and fathers, and they ought to care for them. He related it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have had, that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow down ourselves before you to the ground? And his brothers were jealous of him, and his father kept this story in his mind. He remembered the story. The father remembered it. Verse number 12 now. And his brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept and treasured the memory of this dream in his heart. Then his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. Remember, Shechem is the place where they killed all these people at one time. And Israel said to Joseph, are you not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them. And he said to him, I'll go. The boy was obedient. Joseph, and I think it is over 75 ways, is a type of Jesus Christ. He was obedient. He went when God sent him into the earth. And he said to him, go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock, and bring word back to me. And so he sent him from the valley of Hebron. And he came to Shechem. That's quite a little trip too, by the way. And a man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, what are you looking for? And he said, I'm looking for my brothers. Please tell me where they are pasturing their flocks. Now, if you followed the sheep, normally you could follow a grazed path, couldn't you? With sheep droppings all along. You could follow a herd of sheep. But he's out watering the field, wandering in the field, trying to figure out which way they went. And the man says, they have moved from here, for I heard that they said, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. And they saw him from a distance. Before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. They're going to kill him. And they said one another, here comes the dreamer, the one that sets in hypnotic trances. Now then, come and let us kill him, throw him into one of the pits, and we will say a wild beast devoured him. Then let's see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard this. Now Reuben is what we might call a disobedient son, but he loves his father. He loved one of his father's wives also. But Reuben heard this and rescued him out of their hands and said, "Let us not take his life." Reuben further said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit." Now this pit here basically is a place where they threw waste. It's a toilet. It's an old outhouse, so to speak. And this pit that is in the wilderness, but do not lay hands upon him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father. He wanted somehow to get him back to his father. He loved his father enough that he knew this would bring great, great distress and pain and grief upon his father. They took him and threw him in a pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. Then they sat down to eat a meal. Now they've thrown him in here in prison, so to speak, in this old outhouse. And they raised their eyes and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites. Now, we talked about them in the last chapter. It was coming from Gilead with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh. On their way to bring them down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, one preacher said this, "Well, this is a typical Jew for you. This is a typical Jew. We're going to make some money on this situation." And Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is this for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? And come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. For he is our brother and our own flesh, and his brothers listened to him." And some of the Midianite traders passed by, and they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites. Now he'd been sold two times already before they ever pulled him out of the pit. He'd been sold two times. People making money. Ishmaelites sold him for 20 shekels of silver, and thus they bought Joseph. Brought Joseph into Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Jesus Christ was brought into this type of, into this world to save our souls. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Galatians 4:4 says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem us, those under the curse of the law." Now Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his garments. Reuben was really upset now. And he returned to his brother and said, "The boy is not there. As for me, where am I going to go? I'm the firstborn. Now I'm responsible. I'm responsible for this." So they took Joseph's tunic, and they slaughtered a male goat. And they dipped the tunic in the blood. And they sent the vari-colored tunic and brought it to their father and said, "We found these. Please examine it to see whether it is your son's tunic or not." Now they're going to break the old man's heart. Then he examined it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Jacob tore his clothes, and he put sackcloth on his loins, and he mourned for his son for many days. And all of his sons and all of his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. He said, 'Surely I will we go down to Sheol in mourning for my son. I will die of a broken heart. This is going to cause my death.'" You know, people sometimes, when they have someone they love, when that loved one dies, they just die too. In a short time later, sometimes even in the same day. Yeah. I saw on YouTube the other day a very old man in Southern California. And down in Southern California, there is no law. They're turning the convicts out. As soon as they commit a crime, they just put them out on bail and they go do another one. They go kill people. They rape and pillage and rob. And they just do it at will. Some of the people have become very, very upset, and they go out and they buy themselves a gun. And they take classes on how to protect themselves and so on and so forth. There was an old man down there that some people pulled up out in front of his store. And they came in the store with rifles to rob him, probably kill him. And the first thing he did was he pulled his pistol out and shot the guy, and they took off running. Except there was problems with that. The old man, in all of the stress, all the fear for his life and having to pull a trigger on somebody, and that's a pretty hard thing to do. He pulled the trigger and he shot the man and took off running. But the old man had a heart attack and almost died because of the stress. And he lived. And they came back and asked him later, what happened to this? Well, you know, I don't know why I had the heart attack or anything, but I had the heart attack and I'm doing better now. They said, did you carry a gun all your life? Were you in the military? What? He said, I grew up in the country and grew up shooting for food. I had to go out and hunt to put food on the table. And I did that here in Fish Lake Valley. We didn't have a freezer or anything, and I would go out every day with my .22 rifle or a pellet gun, and I would go get a rabbit or doves or whatever, and we'd cook it and eat it. That's what we had. We didn't have anything else. The old man died. There was another guy. These two criminals came into his store, and they tried to rob him, and he stabbed them with a knife. And one of them went down. Sometimes great trauma from a person's death will actually... Even a young man sometimes will die when he's defending himself after the fact. Many people in war out there go through such trauma, killing and being killed. Now, this is the type of thing that Joseph was going through, a tremendous stress. Basically, he said, I don't want to live. He said, I will go down to Hades crying for my son. So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard. What a story, huh? A story of sibling rivalry or sibling hate? Sibling rivalry or sibling hate? And was Joseph's dreams from God? Did God put Joseph in a hypnotic trance where he saw all these things happen? Absolutely he did. And every one of these dreams are going to come to be true. They're really going to happen. We find out later on, and as the story goes on, that all of his brothers and even his father would come down to Egypt and his mothers, and they would bow down to Joseph. Joseph would become... Mary bowed down to Joseph. Mary bowed down to Jesus. He was her Savior. He might have been her son, but he was her Savior. Joseph, if he believed in God, Jesus was his Savior in his time. All of the disciples, Jesus' brothers and sisters, would soon bow down. All of them would bow down to him as the Lord of glory that he was. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem you and me. Us, from our sins unto glory. Our Father, we thank you for this message. Father, please use it to honor and glorify yourself and your Son. Help us to be submit and bow down to you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.